Co-sponsor since the very first conference, 2008, right through this fifth conference, has been the National Policing Improvement Agency, about which much has been said, but let me say that we've been very grateful for our partnership with the NPIA, with its knowledge agenda, its assets like POLCA, and all of the good things that will now be transferred into a new organization. Not everything that they do, but certainly things related to the knowledge agenda, we look forward to being continued after December 1st. And let me ask the current chief executive officer of the NPIA, who has served in that role for almost 2.5 years now, a former assistant chief constable for crime and criminal justice in the Thames Valley Police, formerly an officer at Leicester Police, a man of great experience in dealing with the complexities of policing on the ground, as seen from the perspective of central government in Whitehall, and the many discussions since the election of May 2010 about the future of the policing landscape. Nobody is better qualified to not only welcome you to this conference, but to put the conference in perspective, yes, as an international conference, but also a conference occurring here in Britain where there may be more dramatic and earth-shaking changes in a police landscape than have occurred at any time since 1829 when British policing in the modern era was founded. So please welcome Nick Gargan, Chief Executive of the NPIA.
Thank you, Larry. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to be here. Good to be here, actually, with my former boss, Peter Nayrood. We don't see so much of each other these days, but this afternoon gives me a good opportunity to tell him and you what's happened to the agency that he left me in charge of with a staff of 2,200 in September of 2010. And we find ourselves now with a staff of 1,500, a little less than that, and we are now at the brink of breaking that agency up. It's felt, I suppose, appropriate to use an Olympic analogy, given where we are in 2012. But transition of NPIA has felt rather like the Kirin cycle race in the Olympics. You'll be familiar with the one. It's indoor. It's on a banked track in the velodrome. And for the first few minutes of the race, we all look at it and wonder what on earth is going on, as the cyclists seem to be making no effort whatever to make any kind of ground. And then just as you've decided to pop out to make a cup of tea, suddenly something happens. Nobody knows quite what the stimulus is, and they're off. And after a frenetic burst of activity, the race is won. Increasingly, I'm pleased to say, by a British competitor. And it's been a little bit like that in the NPIA phase out. We've had a sustained period of nothing much happening, and then suddenly now everybody is gearing up to move. What's happening, Peter, is that around 450 of our residual staff are heading into the Home Office. They're going to be running big bits of infrastructure like the police national computer and the airwave radio system, as well as the DNA database and a few bits beside. Around 200 people will be heading into the new police IT company, which will be running the more commercial commercial dimensions of police IT, the IDENT forensics system, and the police national database, which we launched a little over a year ago in response to Lord Bishard's recommendations, as well as serving as an intelligent procurement function for those police forces that choose to use it. Around 680 people will be heading into the professional body for policing, which will do all of the things that we've been doing around training and many of the doctrine writing activity, albeit we'll be calling doctrine authorised professional practice, and it will be substantially different from the volumes of doctrine that were produced hitherto. In that group will be our prized research, analysis and information function that is well represented here today, and about whose work I shall say a little more in a moment. We'll be sending about 30 people into the Serious Organised Crime Agency, where they will join up with 160 of their mates who went there about 3 months ago. And they, in turn, will, with the remainder of the Serious Organised Crime Agency, form part of the new National Crime Agency when it's ready at the end of 2013. That leaves around 150 people who are euphemistically described as not currently aligned. And of the not currently aligned group, we hope that around half of them will nevertheless find roles in that professional landscape moving forward. The fact that so few people will ultimately be made redundant is a consequence of some good work that that colleagues have done throughout the transition period so far to get our budgets into better shape and make a total of £85 million worth of savings over the last couple of financial years. I've seldom miss an opportunity just to say how well I think the people in the MPIA have done and how purposeful and how dignified they've been in a time of considerable doubt and how at a time when one might have forgiven them a collective corporate strop. What's actually happened is that they've just buckled down and done great things and worked hard, and nowhere more so than in the RAI team that I described to you. Because actually, at a time of difficulty and a time of uncertainty moving forward, one could easily imagine that kind of long-term, future-focused, thoughtful activities would actually be the first to give way, and actually the opposite is the case. It's to Peter's great credit that as he set up the MPIA, he was determined that an evidence basis would be at the heart of its contribution, and the MPIA has, as Larry said, been supporting this conference since its inception. Also, the agency has distributed cash to support forces in developing the evidence base for policing. We've put together grants for forces. I know that West Midlands, Greater Manchester Police, Staffordshire each received grants of £50,000 to take forward randomised trials, which you'll be hearing about on Wednesday, including the West Mids Police, who worked with Larry, and Sir Peter's force in Greater Manchester, supported by some of our team. We've increased the What Works evidence base dramatically. A joint programme led by Professor David Weisberg tripled the Campbell systematic reviews in policing. The first round of that funding started in 2008, the second in 2009, and recently David visited as we held an event to share the emerging findings just a few months ago in central London. One review has confirmed, for example, that when we target crime hotspots, crime isn't displaced elsewhere, and there may even be benefits for surrounding areas. And that's just the sort of information that we want operational commanders like Alex to be able to access. We've been supporting predictive policing. Most recently, the MPIA is working intensively with forces to get the evidence base into practice. We've been working, Bernard Hogan Howe will be here in a little while. We've had teams in the Met Police as recently as May of this year. We worked in February with Northamptonshire, and in June of this year we worked with Surrey Police, among others, and working with them to identify those practical steps that Alex was pleading for on behalf of commanders earlier on. How do we turn this evidence base into practice? It's one thing, of course, doing the work and doing the research, quite another to ensure it's available to people, and it's for that reason that we're working so hard to drive up the user base of our Police Online Knowledge Area, Polka, which I remember being told triumphantly that it had reached 2,000 users, and then blinked and the figure was suddenly 41,000, and that dramatic expansion can only be good news for good news for policing. So I feel that sense of achievement tinged with a degree of sadness, because of course there will be no MPIA next year, and one of the things that we'll be handing over to the professional policing body is the imperative that they must continue supporting activities of this type, must continue supporting the evidence base for policing. And with that, I shall just introduce our first speaker, Sir Peter Fahey. Served in four forces before moving to Cheshire as Chief Constable, where he served as Chief for 5 years. On the national scene, he is the ACPO lead for workforce development and director of our strategic command course at Brems Hill. He's a French and Spanish graduate with a master's from the University of East Anglia. He was awarded the Queen's Police Medal in 2004 and then a knighthood in the Queen's Birthday Honours of 2012. He told me the story the other week about how the night before his knighthood was announced, he was at a youth club doing the sort of thing that chief constables do, and was reflecting that it was quite an ironic place to be on the eve of such a substantial personal milestone, particularly for Peter, because all those years ago, just prior to joining, he'd actually been in a youth club which was being run by a policeman in the East End of London. And it was that policeman who said to him, "Have you thought about a career in policing?" And there he was on the eve of his knighthood, back in a youth club, in a similar scene. I'm certainly glad that he heeded that officer's advice, because Peter is one of the most thoughtful, one of the most respected figures in the association. He's now going to speak to you. He's just been reflecting on how he addresses such a broad and international audience. To give him a word of advice, I will reflect on the fact that we are here on the Sidgwick site. The eponymous Cambridge philosopher Henry Sidgwick apparently was a fan of ethical hedonism. That means you measure how good an action is by the amount of pleasure it produces. And we, Peter, will measure your speech, if not by the amount of pleasure it produces, then perhaps by the amount of learning. So, Peter Fahey.